like to invite you to turn to the book of Exodus, please, this morning, Exodus chapter 17. God has led to share a few words of encouragement along the line of prayer, the need for prayer, a call for prayer. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 11. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 11. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we're thankful for the reminder this morning that we are on the winning side. We're thankful for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord God, teach us to walk in victory. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. What will make all the difference in our Christian lives as we battle against the world, the attack of the world, the worldliness that prevails around us, the flesh, the sinful nature that follows us and wants to control us, and the devil, who is like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour? What will make all the difference to your life, to my life, as we battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil? The answer is prayer. Prevailing prayer in the life of the child of God. This is the key to the Christian life. This is the key to effective service and ministry. And as our passage reads, just as Israel prevailed when the hands of Moses were raised, we will advance spiritually when we lift up our hands in prayer. Moses' hands grew weary, for prayer is hard work. Note then verse number 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So as the hands of Moses grew weary, so likewise prayer, biblical prayer, is hard work. And as Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses, it is the blessed Holy Spirit of God that will uphold you and I as we give our hearts to prayer. Note then verse number 11, the Bible teaches us very, very clearly, it came to pass that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. There is no reference to Joshua down in the trenches, battling against the Amalekites. The Bible teaches us that Israel prevailed as a direct result of the prayers of Moses. His hands were held up in prayer. You can pray kneeling. You can pray standing. You can pray with your hands lifted up. You can pray with your eyes open, your eyes closed. We see here Moses in prayer. And the Bible teaches us that as those hands were held up, as Moses reflected by his bodily manner in prayer by lifting his hands up, the Bible teaches us that Israel prevailed. But also note then verse number 11, it reads, when he let down his hand, who prevailed? Amalek prevailed. So victory was won ultimately through the prayers of Moses. And Aaron and Hur understood the importance of prayer, so they stood by his side and aided him in prayer. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, it's the blessed Holy Spirit of God who helps us to pray, directs us in how to pray, who to pray for. And just like the Spirit of God aids us in prayer, Aaron and Hur were by the side of Moses, supporting him in prayer. And the Bible teaches us that as his hands were lifted up, Israel prevailed. Note then verse number 8, the Bible reads that Amalek fought with Israel. Israel did not go out of their way to start a fight. But the Amalekites decided to start a fight. And that's what the devil is like. I'd like to think that for most of us, we're not out wanting to have a fight with the devil. We're not out to want to fight with the sinful nature of the world. But it just seems like that all the above wants to battle with you and I. Let me ask you this morning, are you prevailing? Are you prevailing as you battle with that Amalekite in your life? Do you feel like you're going under? You feel like that you are being worn away because of the Amalekites? What's the issue? What's the reason? Well, the Bible teaches us while the hands of Moses were lifted up, Israel prevailed. But when those hands came down, Amalek prevailed. It could it be that you and I are not where we should be, or could it be that you and I, even this morning, we're struggling, feeling like that we're being overcome by the Amalekites? Could it well be simply because that we are not given to prayer as we ought? God is able to do great things through prayer. I'm sure all of us would say amen to that, would you not? God is able to do great things through prayer, and all of God's people said, you know that's true. We see it evident within the pages of Scripture. We'll say amen to that. But yet, when it comes to day-by-day reality, do we really believe that? And do we believe it to the point that we will give ourselves to prayer? Because we believe in God, the God of the impossible, He is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think according to our prayers. Now, God doesn't need our prayers to do great things. And maybe that's your excuse as to why you don't pray. I doubt that it is. Or could it be that you and I grow weary and we become negligent and we fail to come back to the basics that God is able? And while those hands were raised, Israel prevailed. But when those hands were not raised, Amalek prevailed. My friend, God is able to do great things through prayer. And this victory against the Amalekites, yes, Joshua did his part there in battle with the Amalekites, but the victory was won ultimately in direct proportion to the prayers of Moses. And that reminds us, my friend, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The warfare is spiritual. It's beyond what we see with our naked eye. And we as the people of God need to be brought back to the basics that the reason why Amalek prevails within our lives is because our hands have come down. We have no issue of being in the trenches and fighting on a physical level, but yet where's the spiritual element? See, Moses very wisely, I don't believe Moses was a coward, I believe he was the most courageous out of the whole lot, said to Joshua, you go down with a group of men, you battle against the Amalekites on that level, and I will battle against the Amalekites on the next level. The level of ultimate victory. And beloved, this morning I'd like to cry out a call for prayer to encourage you to get back to the basics and to give time to prayer, because that is where battles are won or lost. Ultimately. And some of us within our hearts of hearts are crying out, Pastor, I'm going under, the Amalekites are winning, and I can probably assure you the reason is not because there's a problem with God, the issue is that we are not giving our hearts to prayer as we ought. Because prayer conveys dependence. The more we pray, the more dependent we are upon our God. You might be saying, well, Pastor, it just seems like there is no progress within my life. There is no progress within my difficult circumstances. My friend, how's your prayer life? God is able to do great things through our prayers. Wonderful example of that is found in Acts chapter 12, please. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verses 5 to 7. Acts 12, 5 to 7, it reads, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Note the connection here between Peter's deliverance, Peter's release from prison, and the prayers of the saints. While Peter was kept in prison, verse 5 teaches us that prayer was made without ceasing for him by the church family. And note then verse number 13, please. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad?" This is those Christians that were at a prayer meeting praying for the release of Peter. And Rhoda said, "Peter's at the door." And they responded to her by telling her that you're mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. Good on him. He wanted to be indoors. He didn't want to be recaptured by the Romans. He kept knocking. And when they finally opened the door, they saw him, and the Bible reads, they were what? Astonished. Wow. God's actually answered our prayers. Very sad, is it not? But that's how it is. You know it's true. You know it's true. We pray, but do we really believe that God could answer prayer? God directly answered the prayers of the saints, and Peter was released, and they said to Rhoda, "You've gone crazy. Maybe you saw an angel." And then when Peter stands before them, they're astonished, they're surprised. So even within the unbelief that prevailed within that prayer meeting, God still worked. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. I have no doubt there would have been some that would have stood and said, "Praise God, God has answered our prayers. Thank you, Lord." But the text seems to imply, as far as the majority of them, they were surprised, they were shocked. See, my friend, God is able to do great things through our prayers. Even meshed with unbelief, God is still able to do great things. One man has rightfully said, "You can do more than pray. You can do more than pray after you have prayed." Yeah. You can do more than pray after you've prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Got it? So in other words, our prayers will make our efforts far more productive. We'll accomplish more through prayer. As opposed to setting prayer aside and convincing ourselves, "I don't have time to pray." Yes, if you and I will make the time to pray, more will be accomplished for the glory of God. What could this group of believers possibly do to release Peter from prison? Pray. They had no standing before the Romans. to seek his release. But they can go to the top, they can go before the very presence of Almighty God and say, God, do a miracle. And we have that same privilege. God is able. God is able to do great things through prayer. Prayer is the key to victory. Note there in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, please. In verse number 11 it reads, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able, enabled to stand against the wiles or all the devices of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle is spiritual. And then the armor of God is outlined there from verses 13 to 18. We note truth and righteousness in verse 14. The gospel in verse 15. Faith in verse 16. Salvation, the assurance of salvation, and the word of God in verse 17. But note then verse 18, please. Praying, how often? Always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer holds the armor of God together. It's one thing to put on truth and righteousness and the gospel and faith and have the word of God. But the Bible teaches us in verse 18, praying always. Do you see that? Praying always. Oh yes, I believe in truth. Yes, but praying always. Truth and prayer go hand in hand. Righteousness and prayer go hand in hand. Spiritual battles are won on our knees. Prayer is so absent and of little emphasis in the average life of a Christian. We wonder why the Amalekites are prevailing. We wonder why we're discouraged. We wonder why it seems like God is not at work. Are you up on the mount in prayer? My Bible teaches me that I need to be praying always. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles, the devices, the trickery, the methods of the devil. Prayer is the key, beloved. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? A book written by a man by the name of S.D. Gordon. If you can get a hold of this man's books, they are gold. Gold. He's got a whole series titled Quiet Talks. He's got a book on Quiet Talks on Prayer. Note what this man of God had to say. The greatest thing anyone can do for God and for man is to pray. It is not the only thing, but it is the chief thing. A correct balancing of the possible powers one may exert puts it first. But if a man is to pray right, he must first be right in his motives and life. And if a man be right and put the practices of praying in its right place, then his serving and giving and speaking will be fragrant with the presence of God. The great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer, but I mean those people who take time and pray. They have no time. It must be taken from something else. Amen. This something else is important, very important, and pressing, but still less important, less pressing than prayer. There are people that put prayer first and group the other items in life schedules around and after prayer. Is that you? For most of us, if we have time, we'll pray. We won't make time to pray. But prayer, God is able to do great things through prayer, and prayer is the key to victory. Our Lord Jesus expects us to pray. There's an expectation upon your life and my life to pray from the very lips of the eternal Son of God. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Love the Lord Jesus. How's your prayer life? If you love the Lord Jesus, then you'll love what He loves, and He has placed upon you and I an expectation to pray. Note there in Matthew chapter 18, please, Matthew chapter 18. Pardon me, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 1, Luke 18, verse 1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, to teach this very lesson, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Our Lord Jesus taught a parable involving an unjust judge, a godless judge, that was approached by a widow. And this widow woman was seeking justice to prevail. And back within the biblical setting, if you were widowed, you were worthless, you were of no value. And the Bible teaches us that this widow woman constantly barraged this unjust judge that didn't feel sorry for her, had no regard for this widow. And because of her importunity, because of her persistency, that judge ran to the aid of that widow. And the Lord Jesus uses that little parable to illustrate the very fact that men ought always to pray and not to faint. God expects us to persist in prayer. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 reads, "Pray without ceasing." God wants us to persist in prayer. Just like Moses persisted in prayer. And as he persisted in prayer by lifting up his hands, Israel prevailed. But when he failed to raise his hands because they grew heavy, Amalek prevailed. And it could well be that Amalek is prevailing in your life right now because you are not persisting in prayer. See, God works from and for eternity. He works according to His timetable. May God find us faithful, as Jesus Christ said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, please. God wants us to pray with persistency. God wants us to pray with purpose. Here in Matthew chapter 6, in verses 5 to 8, he makes reference to vain repetitions there in verse 7. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do." We are to pray persistently. We are to continue in prayer. But also we are to pray with purpose. And our Lord Jesus went on to teach His own disciples how to pray with purpose. Verses 9 to 15. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. To pray with purpose. If we had time, we would exposit this example, this skeleton outline on what we're to pray for, the areas that we need to pray for. But may I just say, for the sake of time, that God wants us to pray with purpose. Our prayers so often are vain, they are monotonous, and they have no real purpose. They are vain repetition. May God help us to pray under the guidance of the Spirit of God and pray in His power and according to His will. We need to pray persistently. We need to pray with purpose. Also, we're to pray periodically. We're to have scheduled times for prayer. Note then Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. So our Lord said in Luke 18, men ought always to pray. Look at this in verse number 40, please. Matthew 26, 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. The disciples were good at sleeping. Experts. Note then verse number 36, our Lord said to them, I'm going to go yonder and pray. Verse 36. And note that at the end of verse 38, He said, watch with me. Then note then verse 40. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what? What are you doing? This is not the time to sleep. Could you not watch? Could you not pray with me for how long? When was the last time you prayed for an hour? The truth be known, most of us wouldn't even pray an hour's worth of prayer in a month. And that's to our shame. And we wonder why Amalek prevails. Don't get defensive with me, you know it's true. We wonder why Amalek is prevailing within our Christian life. We wonder why Amalek is prevailing within our homes. We wonder why Amalek is prevailing within this world, because God's people have not heeded the charge of Almighty God to be people of prayer. And Jesus Christ said to His own disciples, the select 12, specifically Peter, what are you doing? Could you not even pray for an hour? Now would you agree with me that's a tall ask? Well, if you want to combat and defeat Amalek, it's going to take some prayer. God wants us to pray persistently. God wants us to pray with purpose. God wants us to pray periodically within our own quiet times. God wants us to devote time to prayer. I say schedule time for prayer. Do you schedule time for prayer in your quiet time? Or does it depend on how much time you've got left over? or what's going that day. May God forgive us and revive us that the reason why Amalek is prevailing today is because God's people are not given to prayer. Are we not to be the salt of the earth? How can we be the salt of the earth if we don't even pray? We don't pray personally as we ought. And we have little regard to the midweek prayer meeting here at the church. Where are you on Wednesday night? Is prayer important? We wonder why Amalek prevails. Don't we get it? Oh, but Pastor, I'm too tired. It's your choice. Yeah, but you'll sit in front of a rotten TV and watch junk. And you think that's relaxing? God released Peter from prison because the church had an old-fashioned prayer meeting. We need to pray periodically, we need to pray personally, daily in our quiet times, and we need to assemble as the people of God for prayer within the church house. And then we'll see great things happen. That's why we devote the majority of the Wednesday night meeting to prayer. We have 2 half-an-hour sessions for prayer. That's the goal. It's not because we want to fill in time, it's because we need to pray. And let me charge those of you that do come on Wednesday night, come prepared to pray. Some of you come and you spend more time talking to one another than praying. And some of you walk out halfway through the prayer meeting, but you wouldn't walk out on halfway through a movie. No, you wouldn't. But you walk out half through a prayer meeting. If prayer is really important, then you'll be here. And you'll be here for the whole prayer meeting. Let me tell you why Amalek prevails in our day. It's because you are not in prayer. Wonder why he's struggling. It's because you're not in prayer. You're not praying periodically. You don't pray regularly on a daily basis. Bit of a joke. If we were to order our prayer times daily, you'd be embarrassed. You'd melt on the spot. We wonder why Amalek prevails. Prayer is not important. Not prayer personally, not important as a church. Now let me just remind those of you that do come on Wednesday night, come prepared to pray. Some of you spend more time talking and catching up than praying. We're here to pray on Wednesday nights. If you want to catch up, come early. Stay late. But when it's time to pray, pray. Amen. I'd rather have 5 people that are prepared to pray than 20 that just gobbledygook and spend more time talking about one another's adventures during the day than actually praying. May I remind you that Israel prevailed against the Assyrians and God flattened 185,000 Assyrians in direct result to the prayers of Hezekiah and Isaiah. How many is that? Can you count? Hezekiah and Isaiah. 2. 2 men prayed. And God flattened 185,000 Assyrians single-handed because as two men pray. Amen. How's your prayer life? Do you value prayer? The Apostle Paul valued prayer. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, "Brethren, pray for us." Brethren, pray for us. This is the great Apostle Paul. He coveted the prayers of God's people. Do you covet the prayers of God's people? Do you? This man of God understood where it was at. He said, "Brethren, please, pray for us." See, we have a responsibility to pray one for another. Are we not a church family? Talk to me. So where are you? And you wonder why Amalek is prevailing. Look, I'm not here to have a go at you. I really do love you. But I think we need to get back to some basics. Amen? And the reason why Amalek is prevailing within our own Christian lives, and why Amalek has prevailed within our homes, and Amalek has prevailed within our ministries, and Amalek has prevailed in Australia, in the world, because God's people have forsaken prayer. I'd like to encourage you. Come back. Let's give our hearts to prayer. Jesus Christ said men ought always to pray. Jesus Christ said to Simon Peter, "Could you not pray for 1 hour? May God encourage us this morning to pray. Is Amalek prevailing in your life? Let me encourage you. Give your heart to prayer. God is able to move mountains. God is able to work above and beyond that which we might ask or think without limitation by the prayers of the saints. Our missionaries need first and foremost our prayers. More than our monies, they need our prayers." And the Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, give me more money." Is that what he said? Brethren, pray for us. May God help us this morning to see the importance of prayer. God will do great things. We would give our hearts to prayer. And some of us are struggling at this very moment, and I'd like to encourage you, give your heart to prayer. Be persistent, be purposeful. Keep it regular. God will work. Let's bow for prayer.